Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the Derek Hunter Podcast for the third day of August 2020. Another freaking Monday. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. So much to get to, so much stupidity and hypocrisy. And my God, these people make so much money. How do these people make so much money? How do these people get elected? How do these people get hired? How dumb are the hiring people and the voters to put these people in office? Oh, we got a lot to get to today. I want to thank everybody for the nice notes and the new patrons at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast for the curse show. Apparently I figured out how to work it. Got emails saying that, hey, I was able to listen to the show on Patreon or however you listen to it. So good. Now you won't be inundated with a curse show if you are just a regular subscriber. George, I think, who sent me out. George let me know. He was the first one. He says he was the first person to sign up at Patreon too, which may well be true. I have no way to prove or disprove that. I just inherently trust people named George. So thanks to George. Thanks to all of you. Now, for those of you who are offended because it showed up in your feed and your podcast, you're like, hey, what's this? Did I miss a show? And then you get, oh, no, swearing. I did get an email. I'm not going to give a name, but somebody said I swore too much. And I was like, well, I'll just read it to you. And no offense to the person who sent it to me. I'm just illustrating a point. I wrote, yes, I like to swear too, but your cast resembled a group of feminists cursing about how they hate men, like they were all having their period. I found that swearing to excess loses its power and direction. Keep your shit away from the fan. I thought I'd made it perfectly clear that the Saturday show is full of swearing. It is now not going to show up in your feed, so you don't have to worry about it. I agree with you that swearing used properly is great punctuation, which is why I use it sparingly on the show regularly. But on occasion, it does get beyond me. And by Friday night, I just want to let loose on these freaking morons. So I thought, let's just rant. I suspect many, many people out there are going, why don't they just effing do this and effing do that? So you know what? Let you know you're not alone. I got your back one day a week. It's at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. So if you, the only way to be offended by it is to deliberately try to be offended by it. And if you deliberately try to be offended by it, then I can't help you because I can't come over to your house and stop you from pushing play. So, yeah, there you go. From now on, they'll be up on patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. It's $5 a month. $5 a month for 2 extra hours, considering you get, 20 hours for nothing? 20 hours and change for nothing? I don't think that $5 is too much. And all the other rewards stand as well. Okay, before we get to the news of the day, a little quick word from AncientLifeOil.com. Yes, AncientLifeOil.com. I still get your emails. What's the link? What's the website? What's the this? What's the AncientLifeOil.com, all one word for the finest in 100% organic CBD oil that you can find. It is amazing stuff. Do some research. Say, what are people saying about CBD oil? That can't be true. See what people are saying. Talk to some friends and family. I bet you know somebody who's using it. And then when you decide, okay, I'm going to see what the rage is all about, you go to AncientLifeOil.com Enter promo code Derek at checkout. Click apply, get free fast shipping. So you can't beat it. It's win, win, win. You let the sponsors know that you heard it here. You get the best CBD oil around, and you make me happy. You make yourself happy. Win, win, win. Okay, let's get into the news of the day. There's so much to get to. There's schools are still going to shut down, and now governments are moving to shut down private schools that are trying to reopen. A real quick note on this, because I'll probably go into this more later on in the week, it seems like the hymen was broken in Montgomery County, Maryland, where they ordered all private schools to be closed until they decide that they can be open, because they don't want the competition. See, the public schools, they're shutting them down. They're doing all the virtual learning. And that's fine for public schools as far as them being an entity that can continue to exist. They are not dependent upon doing a good job, clearly. They are not dependent on, they just get money from the government. So they don't have to worry about funds drying up. The teachers don't have to worry about their checks not showing up. The money just keeps rolling in and they don't give a damn. Why should they give a damn? Private schools are different. Private schools pay rent. Private schools pay taxes. Private schools have overhead that they can't avoid. And when there is nothing coming in, they run risk, just like, what, a third of restaurants out there, of having to close forever. Now, the public schools love this. The teachers' unions absolutely are in hog heaven right now, because they're viewing this as an opportunity to run out of business a large percentage of private schools. That's the only thing remotely close to possibly keeping public schools honest, is the idea that some of the students, not many, certainly not nearly enough, some of the students can be pulled from failing public schools and put in charter schools, put in private schools, whatever. They hate that because it makes them look bad. You know, you've got a series of failing private schools and you name the city, just pick a city that's run by Democrats and you probably have a failing school district. But within that failing school district, within that same group of students, the pool of students, somehow private schools have managed to not fail kids, academies, religious schools, whatever it is. They've managed to not fail kids. Now, part of it is that the parents who send their kids to these private or charter schools, they are desperate to make their children succeed and make sure their children succeed. Yes. So the left tries to argue that, oh, well, if you're able to pick your student body, of course you're going to be able to. You're leaving the kids that are have difficulties in the public schools. Well, not necessarily. But if that's the case, then how about you give every student school choice and then you eliminate that? They don't want to do that because their power base is in the public schools, the taxpayer dollars, and the Democrats benefit from those taxpayer dollars because they're given to union members, who then the union takes a slice and gives a bunch back to Democrats, you see. More school funding means more money in unions, means more money back to the Democrats, and it's all our money. It's a nice little racket if you can get it. But Democrats do not want school choice. They want parents stuck with their kids stuck in really shitty school districts and failing school districts. In Washington, D.C., they spend on average somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000 per pupil on schools. The schools, according to Mayor Muriel Bowser in Washington, D.C., are ordered closed until November 6th at the earliest. Now, it's weird that she would pick November 6th. Why would you pick right after the election? Unless you're not even trying to hide that you're trying to screw with the election. But hey, the president is probably not going to carry Maryland, Washington, or Virginia, so I'm not really sure how much that impact that's going to be. But down-ballot issues, down-ballot races could be impacted by that. It just seems overly cynical to say that not only can't you go to school, you can't send your kid to any school. There are a lot of parents who would send their kids to private schools. Private schools could reopen. And now the government is moving to the other day, Governor Larry Hogan of Maryland tweeted out, "I do not agree with this decision to close private schools in Montgomery County. This is ridiculous." Governor, he's doing it under the authority you gave him, the county executive. I'm not going to bother you with his name. The county executive is doing that under the executive order in the state that you signed. You could rescind that order and relieve him of that power. I responded to the governor, who I know, and I personally like Larry Hogan, but he's just been a disappointment as governor in many, many ways when he didn't have to be. But I responded, I said, "Gee, do you know anybody who might be able to do something about this?" Being, of course, sarcastic, and sarcastic SOB that I am, did not get a response. And that is typical of these people. They like to pretend that they're interested in helping people, but when the rubber hits the road, when they have an opportunity to step up and do something, they don't. Larry Hogan wants to be president in 2024. It's a long, long, long shot, but his appeal, as it were, as much as it is, he thinks, is based upon having the ability to work with Democrats. Montgomery County is one of the most liberal counties in the country. It's also one of the wealthiest counties. It's also one of the big counties with the biggest wealth gap, if you care about such things. He doesn't want to offend them or offend anybody. Maybe the pressure will come to the point where Larry Hogan has to rescind that executive order so that the private schools can go back into business. But Larry is really risk averse. And I think most politicians are risk averse. And that risk aversion is really screwing with this country. It really honestly is screwing up this country in ways that we hadn't seen before. There's always been politicians who are very squishy, very squeamish, very reluctant to really lead in any way, shape, or form. But the impact of their bad policy decisions tend to be much longer out. You know, it's not very often that something like Obamacare comes in and says, "Nope, nobody's going to lose their health insurance. You get to keep your doctor, you like your doctor," and then immediately 5 million people lose their health insurance because the federal government has decreed it to be unworthy. That happened too quickly for Democrats, and they were punished electorally in the Congress for that. But most of the really big problems, they can keep to a minimum for a number of good years, 10, 15 years. And then they have to come back and say, "Well, we have to fix this problem. It's a horrible situation, and only government can fix this," when if you looked back, you saw that the government actually created it. I'll give you an example. When I used to do health policy, Democrats in the early 2000s, and I guess during the Clinton administration too, Democrats did absolutely nothing but complain about HMOs, health maintenance organizations. They were problematic. They were denying people this. They weren't covering that. People were getting screwed. They were the worst thing in the world. Oh my God, we need to get rid of health maintenance organizations. Government has to take over more of health policy in the country because HMOs are ruining everything. One of the leaders, the perhaps most vocal in this jihad against HMOs, was Ted Kennedy, when not making waitress sandwiches and dropping his pants at parties down in Florida, he was complaining about HMOs. Well, earlier in his career, Ted Kennedy had written the bill that created HMOs. So it was his own monster. It was his own doing that created the problem that he was advocating as necessitating the takeover even more of the health insurance industry in the United States by the federal government. He birthed it. He caused that problem. I think he'd done it in the 80s. I can't remember exactly. I just know that he was the creator of the HMO. And now here he is going, "Well, HMOs are just the worst thing ever." And like, you did it. I mean, maybe Joe Sr. felt the same way about Teddy. Teddy Kennedy's just the worst thing ever. And, you know, well, you created him. But it's kind of ironic. And in many ways, it's how the left functions. Repercussions way further down the line. But when it comes to coronavirus, no one wants to lead because the repercussions could be before the next election. The repercussions could be immediate, and the repercussions are permanent for the people who die. So you end up with naturally risk-averse politicians. See, I remembered where I was eventually. You end up with naturally risk-averse politicians being even more risk-averse, because it's not like, well, if I push this thing or that thing, by the time I'm out of office and retired from politics or maybe even dead, they'll realize, or things will really hit the fan and I won't have to worry about it. Well, it's different if you say schools should reopen and then in a month you've got an outbreak in that school, especially if that month is September or October, you see. So all of these politicians, without content in the front of their underpants, but plenty in the back of their underpants, are running around like Larry Hogan saying, gee, you shouldn't be ordering private schools to close. But I'm not going to do anything to make sure that private schools can reopen. You see the disconnect there? And this is in everything. These governors are trying to have their cake and eat it too, most of them. The few who aren't. Someone like Kemp in Georgia, someone like DeSantis in Florida, they are certainly willing to stick their necks out much further than most other governors. I'm sure there are other governors, and if your governor's wonderful and doing a great job, I apologize. I can't name them all. But you see them resisting the calls for draconian lockdowns, resisting the calls to impose federal or statewide mandates on X, Y, or Z. And the response is the national media is going, things are worse than ever. In Florida, my God, Georgia, people are just dying left and right. It's a huge outbreak, and you see these tweets all the time. Well, the state of Florida has as many hospitalizations now today as they did at the beginning of July. Yes, they went up in July. They are now back down to the levels they were on the 5th of July. Amazingly. They also reported, I believe this is off the top of my head, so I might be off by one or two. They reported 86 deaths yesterday. 86. Now, each one of them's sad. But California reported 250 some odd deaths. At least 250 some odd deaths. We were told that Florida was in a death spiral, yet the hospitalization rate is down. The deaths are coming down. Now, I don't know if it's permanent. I don't know if it's a blip. Nobody does. But note the difference in coverage between how Florida is being talked about. They spent an awful lot of time on Morning Joe talking about how horrible DeSantis is in Florida because he's a close ally of Donald Trump. And the actual literal numbers coming out of California, where they ignore. California had its biggest day for deaths over the weekend in coronavirus. Did you hear anything about it? You probably didn't, because Gavin Newsom is the golden boy. He is the, in case of emergency, break glass hero to the Democratic Party. If Andrew Cuomo keeps on coming off like a moron and the American public catch on and look at the numbers and go, what are you praising this asshole for? He killed more people than most countries. Then they go to Gavin Newsom and say, well, he's just wonderful. He's just fine. He's an amazing, amazing fellow. So keep all of this in mind as you watch the coverage, as you listen to the coverage, as you read the stories. What you're told and how you're told it is very, very important. But also think rationally and logically about the people complaining the loudest about what's going on that other people are doing, and ask yourself, could that person do something about it? In the case of Maryland and the private schools being shut down in Montgomery County, the answer is unequivocally yes. The governor could do something about it. But if he does, and a teacher gets sick or a kid gets sick, even if they recover, it will damage his brand. The risk averse are becoming even more risk averse, and that just screws up everything. And the prospect of recovery and getting back to some semblance of normalcy becomes even more remote because of it. Just to put a fine point on this education, the importance of education, youth suicides are up, youth overdoses are up, there's all sorts of problems. And the Democrats always say, we need a science, the party of science, we need to follow the science. Whatever the science is, science is science, that's science, the other thing. The head of the CDC, Dr. Redfield, said the following. Well, you can just, I don't know, I'm going to read it to you. You can hear him say it about the importance of getting back to school. Remember, teachers' unions don't want this. Therefore, Democrats don't want this, or Democrats don't want this. Therefore, teachers' unions don't want this, whatever the case is, because they think they're hurting Donald Trump, when realistically, they're just hurting kids.
I just want to reemphasize, because I don't think I can emphasize it enough. As the director of the Centers for Disease Control, the leading public health agency in the world, it is in the public health interest of these K through 12 students to get these schools back open for face-to-face learning. Mental health service, 7.1 million kids get it in school. Nutrition, we talked about. Reporting of child abuse, sexual abuse, mandatory in schools. The isolation that these adolescents are feeling that now is associated with increase, as you mentioned, increased drug overdose deaths and now over increased suicides. I think it is really important. As a grandfather, 11 grandkids, I want these kids back in school. I have one grandchild with cystic fibrosis. I want it done smartly. Right, but I think we have to be honest that the public health interest of the students in this nation right now is to get a quality education in face-to-face learning, and we need to get on with it.
Listen to the experts. Not those experts, this expert. It's amazing how the "we must listen to the experts" becomes just a malleable phrase. Doctors get together and have a press conference talking about how they've seen firsthand, but anecdotally, that hydroxychloroquine helps people with COVID-19. And the big tech companies go, no, 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 we must ban that. We must get rid of it. Yet the doctors, these different experts, but proclaimed experts, say that we must keep children locked in Tupperware containers for the rest of their lives until there's a cure. And everybody just says, oh, okay. Doctors are all over the map. The so-called experts are all over the map. One of the biggest problems with coronavirus and this pandemic is that the experts we're told we must take the word of have been all over the place. The Surgeon General of the United States, don't wear masks, there's no reason, mask doesn't do anything, to now you must wear a mask. Our Lord and Savior, Dr. Anthony Fauci, President, Shadow President of the United States, whenever everybody's on the left's knee-jerk reaction is, listen to Dr. Fauci. When? At which point? Dr. Fauci has contradicted himself more often than Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky affair. I don't. What are you talking about? I didn't have sex. Well, I mean, oh no, she blew me, but I didn't consider that sex. She was having sex with me. I wasn't even in town that month. They've been all over the place. What's amazing to me is how little we still seem to know from these public health experts. I saw an article in Newsweek the other day saying, "Does COVID-19 stick around in the air?" Experts weigh in. Like, what do you mean experts weigh in? It's been around long enough that we should know whether or not this thing is floating around in the air, don't you think? I'm not just talking about when you exhale, if somebody has it and they cough or sneeze or whatever. Sure, it's going to spread. But like your little saliva droplets that have a radius, whatever it is, it would seem to me that you could test pretty easily if coronavirus floats around, if it's an airborne virus. I'm not a scientist, but I play one on the podcast. You put, 20 people all with coronavirus in a room, or just one person with coronavirus in a small room. You get them to hang out there, you get them to talk, you get them to laugh, you get them to cough, you try to maybe get them to sneeze, whatever, and you test the air, you capture the air at various distances from them. Then You test that. You get them out of the room. And then you test the air again after, say, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And then you wait a half an hour and you test the air again. You know, even if you're running around in there with jars, just capturing the air. And then you go and you test those things. If it's floating up near the ceiling tiles after a half an hour, then guess what? It is airborne. Okay? We're 6 months into this thing, and what we don't know, you could just about cram into the Grand Canyon. What's amazing to me is these things seem imminently knowable, right? They seem like they should be knowable, yet they aren't. Because the only way I can figure out that we can't know these things or don't know these things is we're not studying these things. Now, we're pouring truckloads of money. We're printing money faster. We're spending money faster than we can make it up electronically. We're not even printing it anymore. And still to have these things as unknown, well, we just don't know. How long does it live on a surface? Do people have to come home and wipe down everything they got at the grocery store? What if they left the non-perishable stuff in cans in the car for a couple of days? Do they have to wipe that stuff down too? We don't seem to know. Nobody can give us a straight answer. It strikes me as, again, just like the air test, it is easily testable. Right? Lord knows there are enough people floating around out on this planet infected with COVID-19 that you could, and most of them are asymptomatic. So it's not like you're going to have to be wheeling people in a hospital bed and torturing them to try and use them as guinea pigs in an experiment. I would think if someone were asymptomatic and doing fine and you approach them and said, hey, do you want to try to help humanity? They'd probably be down with it. And give us a list of anybody who goes, hell no, because then we'd want to ridicule them publicly. So all of this stuff is easily testable. Yet we don't know, well, should we wipe down the cardboard? Do you leave the Amazon package out there for a day? Do you have to wipe down everything? What do we have to do? And how do we not know this? Not given best practices, not being given advice, because we've, again, been given every piece of advice two or three times. The conflicting, yes, we should, no, we shouldn't, you don't have to, but if you don't, you'll die. Like, what in the hell? How about somebody who is an overpaid, bloated bureaucrat collecting our tax dollars, not suffering at all from this, because they're made whole, because they're on the government dole? How about they do something useful and practical with their time and inform the rest of the population how best to avoid it? And that requires figuring out how this fucking thing is transmitted. Done and done. I get it. Don't go around licking doorknobs. It's really put a cramp on my weekend plans, but I've managed to somehow do that. But how about going to the grocery store? You're wearing your mask, you're wearing your gloves, even you're wearing glasses, or goggles, or you're wearing a space helmet, whatever it is. Still, some people are coming down with this. Is it because it's on their box of macaroni and cheese? Or what? Or is it something else? How about a little bit of time be spent on figuring out how that goes? Because, and again, I'm not a scientist, but I'm going on a limb here. If we can figure out how this fucking thing is actually transmitted, then we can work to avoid that better than we have been doing, right? If it's on surfaces, then okay, we'll wipe stuff down. If it's not on surfaces, then we don't have to worry about it. If it's airborne, then I bet you'd get a lot more people wearing the masks. If it's not airborne, then what are we doing? Is social distancing work or does social distancing not work? Washington, D.C. is like New York and a bunch of other states. It's controlled exclusively by Democrats. They, again, see an opportunity to try and embarrass red state governors. So the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, has instituted a, if you go to these states, you have to isolate for 14 days when you come back policy. Right? They're mostly Republican-controlled states, including Georgia, by the way. Yet a conga line of Democrats went down to Georgia on Thursday to a political rally that was couched as a memorial for John Lewis, the, I guess you're legally supposed to say, civil rights legend John Lewis. All the Democrats that went down there are exempt from the mayor's order to self-quarantine for 14 days upon return. Now, why is that? What's the scientific rationale for that? There is none. Now, I bet you that most people in Washington, D.C. who go to Georgia, I don't know how many there are, there can't be all that many, but the ones who do, I bet they're not attending an event with a couple of hundred people indoors where cheering and hooting and hollering are going on and no social distancing. I'm just guessing. I bet they're going down there likely to visit family who lives there. And in preparation to go and visit family, I suspect most people took extra precautions in the week or two leading up to going to see family so that they wouldn't be riddled with guilt that they brought something with them to said family. And I bet the family themselves said, okay, we got somebody coming to visit. Let's be extra careful. We don't want to get them sick. And they took precautions. Members of Congress did not. The people who are taking precautions are being penalized by the government of Washington, D.C., and the people who went there for the photo op are not. They are being exempt. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others, as the book said. You noticing a pattern in this? You can't go to church unless it's for a funeral for John Lewis or George Floyd, but you can't go to church. You can't have a memorial service for somebody you love unless you love George Floyd or John Lewis. Everybody else, tough shit. You can go to a riot. You can go to a so-called protest. You can go marching arm in arm for justice. Why, that's the most important thing. It's right there in the First Amendment, our right to protest. They skip right over the word peacefully protest, peacefully assemble. But they just skip that because, well, the left isn't peaceful. But if you try to peacefully assemble at church with 11 people, you are the new Nazi party and you must be destroyed. Seeing a trend? The left says that the protests around the country are mostly peaceful while shit is burning, people are being murdered, and property is being destroyed. Over the weekend up in Portland, the lovely, lovely Antifa, in addition to just generally starting fires in the street, brought a pile of Bibles with them to burn because they're anti-religion. They're anti-Christianity. Leftists start with taking to the streets, then they start with the destruction of property, then they burn the buildings, then they burn the books, and the bodies are not far behind. This is what they do. This is who they are. And yes, they are a small minority in the country, but never underestimate the power of a small minority committed enough to a cause, no matter how evil, corrupt, or misguided, to get that done, or at least wreak all kinds of havoc. The Germans in Germany in 1932, the Nazis were not a majority. During the Red Revolution in Russia, the communists were not a majority. In China, Chiang Kai-shek basically controlled almost all of China. And Mao and his small band of comrades managed to take over the whole damn thing. Never underestimate the ability of a small committed minority to do awful, evil things. So just keep that in mind. I didn't mean to go off on that rant, but I thought it was necessary. What else is necessary is that the Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump really wants to give you a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat. He wants to make sure the lucky winner is one of his top supporters. So be sure to enter soon because this is an opportunity you don't want to miss. The offer is only going to a select group of supporters and you're one of them. It's easy to enter. All you have to do is text my name, Derek, to 88022 today for your chance to win a signed, autographed 2020 Make America America Great Again hadn't known a piece of history. Again, that's DEREK to 88022 to enter to win this contest and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for 4 more years. This was paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. Lord knows we need that. Did you hear what Joe Biden said? Joe Biden was talking to La Raza the other day. La Raza. Why was he talking to La Raza? Because he's pandering. That's all Democrats know. He's apparently postponed his VP choice for a week. It's kind of funny, all the infighting. We're Democrats, have never been more united. But do not pick Kamala Harris. Do not pick this one. Do not pick Karen Bass. Do not pick that one. Do not pick the other one. It's fun watching them eat themselves. They don't do it often enough, so it's a joy to watch it happen. But Joe was talking to La Raza. And he promised, and again, this didn't get any coverage. It's amazing to me what constitutes media obsession and what constitutes media ignoring. I don't even think this got any coverage on Fox. It might now because it got a little bit of attention on social media, and all the media follows social media. The left follows left social media, and Fox follows right social media. But listen to Joe Biden basically say that he's going to defund ICE. He doesn't come right out and say it, but he flat out says it, that ICE, that Immigration and Customs Enforcement terrorizes Hispanic communities, terrorizes Hispanic. How the hell does it terrorize? Maybe it's because I'm a white guy. Maybe it's because I'm a mean guy. Maybe it's because I just don't care. But when something happens to a white person across the country, I don't think, oh my God, one of my people have suffered an injustice. I think some asshole did something to somebody. That's it. It's that simple. It doesn't matter. I don't go, well, what happened? Oh, that sounds horrible, but what is the racial configuration of it? Who's the victim? Who's the perp? Who got the worst of it? I need to know how much I should care. And the only way for me to gauge that is to know what the races are involved. Like when George Floyd was killed, I didn't sit around and go, well, that looks bad, but at least George Floyd wasn't white. Or I didn't look and, you know, there are some people on the left who would say, Tony Timpa, the guy who was killed a couple of years ago down in Dallas with police officers kneeling on him, and he died, that nobody ever heard of. There's body cam, there's the whole thing, the police were joking about it, and he died. I didn't go, oh my God, one of my people have been killed. I looked at George Floyd and Tony Timpa the exact same way. A human being died unnecessarily. That's it. And if you look at it in any other way, you're probably a racist. Just saying. That's the truth. If you go, one of my people, anybody who goes, my people this and my people that, is a fucking racist in my mind, and I really don't have any use for them. But to sit there and say, well, okay, this is an outrage because a black man was killed. And somebody goes, okay, well, I'm outraged because a man was killed. No, you don't understand. This was a black man. Yeah, okay, it's horrible. It's horrible. I agree. Horrible. By the way, here's a white guy. Same thing. No, different. It happens with much more frequency with black men. And you say, no, actually it doesn't. And you show them the numbers and it actually occurs more frequently with white men. And they go, well, no, it doesn't. I don't care. I only care because this person looks like me and that's it. That's a massive, massive problem in my mind. It's disgusting. It goes right with the idea that, oh my God, this country is horribly racist, horribly, horribly, horribly. But we'll get to that in a second. I just want to get back to this La Raza thing. That's what La Raza is. They only care about people who look like them and think like them. Let's be honest. They have two boxes to check. Do they look like us? And do they think like we want them to think? If you don't rate on both boxes, they're not interested in it. But somehow, they believe, the Democrats believe, Joe Biden believes, that every Hispanic person is running around this country terrified at the prospect of ICE showing up, which is the same thing that the left says about black people and police cars, right? You see a police, you can't have police officers anywhere near polling places. Why? Because it might intimidate African Americans and cause them not to show up to vote. Really? Really? I don't think the majority of black people in this country go, oh my God, there's a cop car. I'm getting the hell out of here. I was going to go shopping at Target, but now that I see that there's a cop car out there, avert your eyes, hope they don't see you. Let's get the hell out of here. To the extent that anybody does, it's a testament to just how shitty our media is to have helped instill this false narrative into people's minds. Well, I've experienced bigotry. Everybody has. Welcome to the club, pal. You know, when have you ever been followed around in a store simply because you're shut? Yeah, hell yeah. When I was younger, when I was in my teens and early 20s, shit, yeah, I was followed around in the store. I wasn't even a shoplifter. I was into other kinds of scams. But, yeah, I would have followed me around. When I worked in record stores, I followed people who looked like me around because I knew what people like me were capable of. It's young people. It's an age demographic. You really want to know the profile, which you're not allowed to say, of shoplifters, especially in stores that like sell video games or music. Now that not that those really exist so much anymore, but it is young and male. It doesn't have anything to do with race. It's young and male. The women tend not, they do, they shoplift, but not nearly as frequently as men do. Just like young and male are much more likely to get into a fist fight. Young and male are much more likely to shoot somebody, beat somebody up, kill somebody, whatever. There is a reason that these profiles were put together. It doesn't really have much to do with race. It's young and male. When we are young, we are stupid. It's that simple. Not uniformly, but on average. Of the young and stupid population, I'd say about 90% of it is male. So, yeah. Anyway, Joe Biden seems to think that if you're brown, you're terrified, horrified of immigration and customs enforcement. If you're an American citizen who happens to be of Hispanic descent, I highly doubt you're living in fear of ICE coming in. But if you have been indoctrinated into the liberal mindset that what happens to anybody who looks like you is happening to you, then what Joe Biden is about to say maybe makes sense. I'd like to think people are smarter than that, but somebody's voting for these morons.
And as soon as I take office, I will use my authority, one, to immediately reprioritize our enforcement resources away from terrorizing Latino families and workers on the lines in this crisis, and give them peace of mind.
Joe Biden is going to give the illegal alien community peace of mind. Oh, yes, a peace of mind. I must give them peace of mind. How about you give them a piece of a plane ticket and get them the hell back to where they belong? They are in this country illegally. I don't care if they're... And I love how he assumes that all illegal immigrants are Hispanics. A huge percentage of illegal aliens in this country are people who overstayed their visas. They are not all Hispanic. They're mostly European and Asian. But, hey, what are you going to do? Joe Biden's trying to pander. Sit back and let him pander. Go about his business. It's such a load of crap. It really is. And it works. That's the worst part. Is that it works. This idea that, my God, this country is just the worst racist cesspool of hell on the face of the earth. That's what these people think. That's what these, well, that's what these leftists want you to think. But let's take a look, shall we, at the median household income in the United States by ethnic group. Let's find out just how racist we are as a society, shall we? Right there at 59, this is the average income or median income, meaning there are as many above as below, right? There's evil whitey right there at 59,900 is the median income for evil, evil Whitey. We are only $700 above Korean Americans. They come in at $59,200. A couple thousand dollars down from that is Indonesian Americans. The average American is at $56,200 at a median income. So Whitey's doing better than the average American. And you got Thai Americans at $55,000, Bangladesh at $50,000, Nepal Americans at $43,500. Then we get to Hispanic and Latino Americans at $43,000. Relative to Whitey, not looking too good, right? Whitey's at $59,900. Hispanic and Latino Americans are at 43,000. Then there's African Americans down at the bottom at $35,000 as the median household income by ethnic group, compared to Whitey's almost, well, not quite twice that, at 59,900. And you may be sitting there going, well, shit, maybe there is something to this, Derek. Except that I didn't start at the top of the list. I started in the middle of the list. Let us go to the top of the list, shall we, to find out how evil white people are keeping black and brown people down. By ethnicity, median household income, Indian Americans top the list, $100,500 per year. Now that's almost twice what Evil Whitey's doing. Did I miss a memo where we just said let's oppress this group but not that group? I don't get it. Next is Filipino Americans at $83,300. Taiwanese Americans at $82,500. Then there's, I won't give you all the numbers, Sri Lankan, Japanese, Malaysian, Chinese, and Pakistani Americans all do better than evil, evil Whitey. Now, how in the hell is that? If we are a fundamentally racist country founded on racism and founded on the oppression of black and brown people, founded on their backs, how in the hell is it that so many groups, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, eight groups of people who are decidedly not white have a higher median household income in the United States than evil Whitey does? And, you know, we still, like I said, we got the Koreans breathing down our necks. They could lap us in the next year or two. Is it maybe because these Democrats are lying? Is it maybe there's something else at play here? Because if you do look at the bottom of the list, the Hispanic and African American groups, is there another two groups of ethnicities in the United States that A, have been pandered to more by Democrats in rhetoric and in policies, and B, been quote unquote helped more by Democrats in their policies? Because I don't think there is. That seems to me to be the two groups that, of course, are the largest voting blocks, which is why Democrats are pandering to them. And the help, in quotes, that they offer, maybe, just maybe, it is counterproductive. Did you ever stop to think about that, Democrats? I don't think Democrats ever stop to think about that, ladies and gentlemen, to be perfectly honest with you. But I thought I'd point that out because Joe Biden is still at it. Joe Biden is still at it. And I remind you all of the book, Please Stop Helping Us, by Jason Riley of the Wall Street Journal, about the failures of the so-called help that Democrats are offering, in his case, the black community. It's not working out for anybody involved. It's like saying, help me, I'm drowning, and somebody who can't swim comes out and starts throwing you bags of concrete. Like, that's not helping. No. Here you go. Here's some more help for you. That's not helping me. Stop helping. You can't help somebody. You can make people dependent on government. The best you can hope for out of government is not help. in the direct sense that most people would think about it. It is getting the obstacles, help getting the obstacles out of your way so that should you be so inclined and should you be talented and driven enough, you will be able to help yourself. That is what you see when you look at the top of the list. It is not evil Whitey sitting ruling over a domain of oppressed minorities, not at all. It is a whole bunch of minorities doing much better than white people. On average, again, the median household income. Indian Americans are doing almost twice as well. They almost have twice, not quite, but 59,000 to 100,500. That's a pretty big jump. And if you believe the left wing's rhetoric, then you have to question, how is it that people who are not white are doing so well in such a horribly racist country? Now, if, by the way, if you went through the numbers and you broke it out not by ethnicity, not ethnic group, but by national origin, you would find other interesting facts, like Nigerian immigrants are significantly higher in income on average than even white people. Again, and Nigerian, and it's not all just Jesse Smollett money paying people to beat him up. It's people coming here and being risk takers, being entrepreneurs and succeeding. We have a problem in this country in that one political party tells everybody in two groups that they're victims and they can't get ahead, and they convince people to not try. That's the real problem, because there are other people from those same ethnic groups, just not American citizens, coming here, not believing the Democrats' hype, not being raised in this politically correct, you can't get ahead, you can only survive with our help bullshit that Democrats spew. They haven't been marinated in that their whole lives. And what is happening? They're coming to this country and they're succeeding. Is it because we're fundamentally racist? No, of course not. It's a load of crap. But Democrats will never point that out. Democrats pretend it doesn't exist, because that fact is wildly inconvenient for Democrats. So you get the crap that we get. You get the lies that we're told. We're going to continue to get them as long as they work. That's the saddest thing of it all, because them working means that millions upon millions of our fellow Americans are being made worse off by our government. Their lives are being hurt and hampered by our government. That's a big problem, because think of all the lost potential that we have in this country, all so one party can get elected to office. How screwed up is that? How they sleep at night, I will never, ever know. But I assume it's on a huge pile of money. That would be just my guess. In the last few minutes we have left here, damn, there's a lot of stuff I wanted to get to, but again, my mouth gets the better of me. There was something I saw, because we've talked about this, thousands of people, millions of people have talked about this, the Black Lives Matter, how they don't care that, you know, that Black lives are being lost on a daily basis, every day. They focus on the Bigfoot rather than the big picture. And then this story, this comes from ABC News, of all places. And why in the hell would they do this, except for the fact that pointing out the number of shootings on really a daily basis in Chicago is having an impact on the coverage and the effectiveness of their brown shirts and the guilt factory of Black Lives Matter. So they're trying to undercut it. The headline of ABC News is written by somebody named Samara Lynn. It was published on Saturday. The headline, Black on Black Crime, a loaded and controversial phrase often heard amid calls for police reform. Huh? The subheadline, it's a retort sometimes heard in the context of the protests. So they really kind of reiterate it. The gist of the story is that again, Black Lives Matter. Don Lemon articulated this perfectly on his show, that Black Lives Matter is about police brutality. Now, if you care about black people killing black people at a ridiculously high rate, then start another group. Start your own group that says All Black Lives Matter, because this is just about police brutality, which it's really not. It's about communism. It's about redistribution of wealth. It's about electing Democrats. It's just a convenient delivery device. Their story reads, quote, "What about black-on-black crime?" End quote. It's a retort sometimes heard in the context of protests surrounding the death of George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, often as the idea that there is a rampant crime problem within the black and mainly urban communities that some are choosing to ignore in favor of focusing on police brutality. Yeah, no shit. It's a question sometimes asked in the context of recent news stories, such as the drive-by shooting of 15 funeral mourners at the predominantly black Chicago neighborhood of Auburn Gresham. The deceased, Donnie Weatherby, a black man, was killed in an earlier gang-related shooting, police said. It's a phrase or a concept that at times recently has been used by some conservatives, those waffle conservatives, to ask why the same activists and community members calling for police reforms seemingly, in their view, don't express the same outrage when someone who is black is killed or injured by another black person. By the way, they're capitalizing black throughout this because that's the new way to do it. And that's true. You sit there and you go, yeah, well, what the hell? This doesn't make any sense. Because it doesn't make any sense. Now, this is where I wanted to bring this up, because this is the links to which, as they go through the whole history, it turns out that Ebony Magazine in 1979, they discovered, was the first media outlet to use the phrase black on black, black crime. So its roots are not as racist as they say. It's not racist at all, but they don't want to deal with the reality of it. So they're arguing etymology, which tells you something about the weakness of the words that they have and the solutions that they're offering, that they choose to argue semantics rather than deal with reality. But this one, these paragraphs caught my eye. The phrase is not only used by white people, but also by some black people calling out crime in their communities. John Ayala reportedly used the phrase after his grandson, 11-year-old Davon McNeil, was fatally shot during a 4th of July cookout in Washington, D.C., according to the Associated Press. The family is black, again, in caps, as per Ayala's social media, as are the suspects in McNeil's death. Quote, now this is quote, I just remember, they said Ayala reportedly said, used the phrase black on black. And then it says the family is black, as per Ayala's social media. Like there's a question about it. The quote from Ayala, quote, "We're protesting for months, for weeks, saying Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, it seems like only when a police officer shoots a black person. But what about all the black-on-black crime that's happening in the community?" Ayala asked in a video posted to Grabian.com. Now, right there's the link to the video on Grabian.com. So what is ABC News's next sentence? Quote, "ABC News reached out to Ayala to confirm his statement, but has yet to receive a response." Like, what? You linked to the video of him saying it. You quoted him directly, him saying it. But you reached out to him just in case there was some deep fake made of this guy nobody'd heard of, whose 11-year-old grandson was murdered by some thugs. You wanted to confirm that what? Reportedly that he used the phrase, and also that per his social media that his family actually is black? What in the hell is going on? Now, that was reported by ABC News. I followed the link to Grabian to the video of him reportedly saying it. his family reportedly, per his social media, is black. And there's the video of John Ayala, a black man, talking directly into the camera. Now, listen to what he said. I read it to you, but you'll hear it in his own words. And tell me if you can come away with him having only reportedly used the phrase black-on-black crime, and whether or not upon seeing the man, you said, well, according to his social media anyway, his family is black.
And everybody just saying they are just tired of the shootings in the community. Everybody's running around here thinking they're Uzi-toting, dope-sucking, psychopathic killing machines, and they're just destroying lives. But we're protesting for months, for weeks, saying Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter, it seems like only when a police officer shoot a black person. What about all the black-on-black crime that's happening in the community?
That quote right there, that video, was linked in the ABC story, but ABC still isn't sure whether or not John Ayala said it, despite him saying it right there, them having linked to it, them having quoted it, him having said it to ABC News, AP, not some right-wing outfit. They're doing everything they possibly can to try desperately to scramble and distract from the reality that Black Lives Matter, the organization and the movement, is a front for the Democratic Party and is in bed with Antifa, that they're violent Marxists who are getting rich off this crap and not helping anybody. It is perhaps the biggest scam perpetrated on the country since Bernie Madoff was arrested. But the media won't cover it because the media is terrible. So you get stories like that. Look, the Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump really wants to give you a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat. He wants to make sure that the lucky winner is one of his top supporters, so be sure to enter soon because this is an opportunity you don't want to miss. This offer is only going to a select group of supporters, and you're one of them. All you have to do is text my name, Derek, to 88022 today for your chance to win a signed, autographed Make a 2020 Make America Great Again hat and own a piece of history. That's right. The president will sign it for you. Again, that's D-E-R-E-K to 88022 to enter to win this contest and join President Trump in the fight, the most important fight you could possibly imagine, to keep America great for four more years. This was paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. Okay, so the ABC News is terrible. Everybody's awful. These people are morons. I didn't even get a chance to talk about the college football players listing their demands before they return. I don't blame them for their demands. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But their demands are, they're crap, to be honest with you. We'll get into that tomorrow, plus all the news of the day. Plus, we're going to be interviewing, as scheduled, the author of the new book, The Drudge Revolution, a guy named Matthew Listach. It's The Drudge Revolution, the untold story of how talk radio, Fox News, and a gift shop clerk with an internet connection took down the mainstream media. You don't want to miss any of it. Thank you for listening. You can email me, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com. The Patreon website is patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. That will be, starting this week, the only place where you can get the Curse Show on Saturdays. So 5 days of me is enough. You got you covered. If you really want to hear an obscenity-laced half an hour on Saturdays, it's $5 a month. Less than I don't even know how much coffee costs, but I hear people griping about it. It's more than that. So go there, check that out, and I will see you tomorrow.